Hello, I'm FinTech Impact. I'm your host, Jason Pereira. Today's show, we have Whit Ladner, CEO and co-founder of Amplify Reviews. Amplify Reviews is a tool that can be used for advisors to gather their client reviews and structure them in one of a number of ways in order to help basically amplify their business and generate more leads. And with that, here's my interview with Whit. Whit, thanks for getting time today.
Happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. So Whit Ladner of Amplify Reviews, tell us about Amplify Reviews.
Yeah, in the simplest terms, Amplify Reviews helps financial advisors embrace the power of online reviews on their own terms.
Excellent. You want to elaborate on that, or you want to elaborate on
that? Happy to. I wanted to make sure the summary was succinct. So
it was succinct, yeah.
As a lot of folks are now familiar with, right, prior to the SEC marketing rule, any advisors governed by the SEC, and to a large extent, FINRA, were prohibited from using testimonials or endorsements as part of their marketing. That changed when the SEC marketing rule compliance deadline went into effect in November of 2022. And as I imagine we'll talk about, I've got about a decade of experience with online reviews. And so it's our thesis that this industry is not going to be different from every other industry in the world. And now that the SEC has opened this opportunity, online reviews will become a common part of the financial advisor experience and online presence. And those folks who embrace them early on can win a disproportionate amount of business by being ahead of the curve on that.
Excellent. So we're going to dive into how you do that shortly, but let's talk about the origin of the company. How did it come to be?
As when you and I spoke before, I mentioned this is my second startup working with the same founding team. The first startup was a healthcare technology company, and it took us a couple of pivots to find the right market, but where we ultimately found success was helping hospitals take their existing patient experience survey data and convert that into their overall rating. We converted to a 5-star scale, their general comment we converted to a review, and then those hospitals were able to publish these ratings and reviews on their physicians' own bio pages on their own websites. And that meant that overnight, they had 10 times more reviews than anywhere else online. They tended to have a higher average rating because they were proactively soliciting this feedback. And they reaped a lot of the SEO benefit that reviews are famous for, driving traffic directly to their own websites. So that company got acquired. Myself and my co-founders had a little intermission in our careers. We got back together, essentially rebuilt that platform with the wisdom of experience. And Amplify Reviews now offers a very similar feature set with an additional layer of compliance functionality for what we believe is the next market that's really going to embrace and adopt online reviews.
Fair enough. So of course, one of the big things that triggered this was the SEC changing the rules. Was it 2 years ago? A little bit around that? Yeah, three, but not that long ago, around the ability for advisors to actually publish online reviews, because that was a problem that was not permitting advisors to do that for years. So Google reviews, all that other stuff was not an option for them. So let's talk about how the experience works. I'm an advisor. I want to get set up with you. How does this work start to finish?
So naturally, a lot of advisors are a little bit apprehensive, right? Everyone wants to believe that all of their clients are happy and that if you ask them to leave a review, that they will do it and they will only have lovely things to say. But physicians were similar in that you can't help but have a little bit of apprehension. So our approach is unique in that we recommend starting with a closed loop system, meaning if our customers use our system, they send email invitations only to their own clients to write a review in our closed loop system that then is displayed in our dashboard. Once advisors have been able to see what all of these reviews have to say, they then can choose to publish them as ratings and reviews, which fall under the umbrella of testimonials. And they can be reassured that at least the initial cluster of reviews that's going online is overwhelmingly positive. Now, what that implies is you always have the option, should you ask for reviews, see that there's some unhappy clients that have accurate, valid, negative things to say, you are not obligated to publish those reviews. You can't cherry pick only the good ones, but you can decide, you know what? We're going to call this a customer feedback initiative. We're going to address the underlying concerns, and we can take another stab at reviews in a few months once we feel like we've addressed the underlying concerns.
Excellent. Okay. So So why can't I just push people towards Google reviews as an alternative that doesn't cost me anything effectively?
That's a great question. I'd say there is a strategic answer and a regulatory answer. I'll start with the latter. Opinions are split about the regulatory compliance of Google reviews. Everyone can agree that it is fine for you to set up a Google business profile, and it is fine if your clients organically find that profile and choose to leave you a review. It becomes a little bit of a gray area if you proactively ask your clients to leave reviews on Google because there are concerns about adoption, entanglement, and appropriate disclosures. Now, I'm not going to go on record as saying you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. I'm not going to say you can do it. But I think it's very understandable how folks are in both camps for Google reviews. They obviously are tremendously valuable. So that's the regulatory concern. The strategic and tactical concern, or consideration rather, is once you set up your Google business profile and you send out requests for people to leave reviews, you run the ever so slight risk that your first review is not as glowing and positive and flattering as you would like. And that review would live on its own until subsequent reviews came in. The other concern is there is no validation process to be confident that the reviews being left on your Google business profile are from your clients. So again, it's not a huge concern, but it is a reality that there's no verification that the people writing reviews are your clients. So whether by malfeasance or by an accident, you could get a review written by someone who is not a client.
Yeah, that's very true. There are entire online services that will just dump a ton of reviews on your Google reviews. If you get caught, they get blocked, but there's ways around that. So talk to me about how the back end of this works, because you had a bunch of control mechanisms for how advisors can deal with these reviews in order to create authenticity. So what does that flow look like from the, basically from the consumer standpoint through the advisor standpoint to publication?
In healthcare, this program, which now is pretty much the norm at major hospitals and healthcare systems, at least in the US, it went by the title of patient experience transparency. And I think if you look at the regulations of the SEC and of FINRA, transparency is really at the heart of what they are wanting all of their firms and advisors to do with regard to consumers. So that's really still the theme of our approach. All of our live clients have a link to their policy for how they collect reviews and what they will and will not publish. So what we do, as I mentioned earlier, an Amplifier Reviews customer will upload a client list, give every one of their clients the opportunity to write a review by this email invitation. All of that comes into our dashboard. Then compliance or somebody designated by compliance can lay eyes on every single comment that comes in and make sure that it is compliant with their policy. The things that will be excluded that most of our clients put in their policy is some obvious things like profanity, personally identifiable information. And then the SEC has 7 general prohibitions around advertising, some unsubstantiated performance claims. So if any of those elements show up in one of those comments or reviews, in our dashboard, you can flag it or you can archive it and document why the decision was made to not publish it so that you have a full audit capability within our dashboard. Now, the other half of your question, from an implementation standpoint, most of our clients just take 2 JavaScript widgets from our system, install them on their websites. That's a one-time effort, 30 minutes or less, and they can style them to match the theme of their website. And from that point on, all of the administration can take place in our dashboard, which is just with whoever you designate in your firm to be an administrator of this program. They can log in, they could look at new reviews, they can approve them or flag them or archive.
Excellent. All right. So that happens. Now let's talk about the impact of this, right? So do you have any data around basically the amount of lead gen that this has resulted in, or is this more of a validation piece once people land on your site?
So it's a great question. And for anyone listening who has fantastic baseline data on your lead gen and conversion efforts, reach out. I'll give you a fantastic deal and opportunity to run this pilot in this industry. So the bad news is it's a little early in this industry. And as you probably know, Jason, a lot of folks don't keep really accurate data on their lead gen efforts in terms of the conversion funnel. But the good news is we have a very good proxy, which is this initiative is now 10 years old in healthcare. And there's a consultancy that went and looked at the major hospital systems in the US, analyzed all of the physician profile pages on those hospital systems, and tried to determine which elements of a physician's bio impacted the conversion rate on those pages. And they found the number one element was the presence of ratings and reviews. And their finding was that it had a 9x lift on conversion.
9x?
Even if you're skeptical of that, and it's only half that, or only a third of that, or honestly, only like a fifth of that, it is a meaningful enough difference that it's easy to imagine the impact. And so when you talk about lead gen, I try to be transparent with the idea that the right place to start if you're focused on lead gen is not necessarily going and getting a lot of net new people to lay eyes on your website. It is to try to make sure everybody who has laid eyes on your website is more likely to convert. And so if we look at that, I'll take a step back and talk about what, from all the folks I've spoken with, I believe is the most common path to an advisor getting a new client. So lots of studies say that 80 some odd percent of new clients come from referrals, either from a direct client referral or a center of influence. I think everybody's personal experience is if I'm going and asking for a referral, I'm going to ask my 3 to 5 smartest friends. I'll probably have 4 names of referrals that I'm interested in. I'm then going to go Google all 4 of them. And whether I'm looking for reviews or not, if one of those folks has reviews, and the other either have bad reviews or no reviews, a large part of my decision-making process has already been made. And if 10 folks land on your website as referrals, statistically, maybe you'd expect to get 2.5 of them or 3 of them. I think there's every reason to believe from the data that we have that you can double that, especially in these next couple of years when not everyone is embracing reviews. But we know consumers love them, look for them, and are heavily influenced by them in their decision making.
I think it's safe to say that given the way that we operate in the world, where all of us basically looking at reviews on Amazon or every other place that basically we're going to make a purchase decision, that these things have bearing. Even if we're skeptical, I think everybody's got to look at themselves and say in their own life, how many times do they look at reviews before making a purchase decision? It's really bizarre. It's really unlikely to think that something as important as hiring a financial advisor isn't going to be subjected to the same kind of validation requirements. And the fact that it didn't exist before was not an issue. Now, 9x is a stupendous number, an ROI that I can't begin to speculate on. But frankly, even if, like you said, even if it's half of that, check, honestly, even if it's 2x, right? The reality is the lifetime value of clients in this industry is very high. So anything that moves that needle, even, I can't believe I'm saying that, even 2x, because even 2x is a huge number. 9x is something we got to contemplate. So how long, you've been up this long in the financial industry. I know you were in the previous industry before. What's the feedback you're getting from the users in the early days right now?
It is overwhelmingly positive, right? Especially when you compare it to some other marketing initiatives or tactics. So a lot of advisors wear a lot of hats. And when it comes to marketing, they do a lot of the marketing or they're very involved in the marketing. And so one of the hardest things to do is continue to come up with new and differentiated content. So one of the beautiful things about this is your clients actually write the content for you, right? And the pillars of search engine optimization have always been recent, relevant, unique content. Reviews are just by their very nature, all 3 of those things. They're unique and relevant because they're written by the client and they're written about their experience with you. The recency part can be tackled by just making sure you are periodically giving your clients the opportunity to write those reviews. And so I think the reason the marketing rule was so well received by the advisor community is because given the other constraints around marketing, it is really hard to differentiate yourself just based on what you are allowed to say on your website. And so this social proof element where prospects and consumers can come see, oh, what is the experience like of working with this advisor or working with this group? That's what really has been missing. And that's what this review approach gives everyone an easy way to take advantage of and give those prospects what they had been missing in their evaluation process.
Excellent. All right. So they got that. And the reality is that validation is something we're all seeking, right? So again, I'll go back to the fact that this is something that was missing from the entire industry and you've now helped bring it about. Talk to me about how you structure your pricing. Is it per advisor? Is it per firm? Like, how does it work?
Great question. So we do today price by profile, which normally lines up by advisor. And so there's a few different ways folks like to implement this, but our best practice is to capture feedback at the individual advisor level, right? So our early customers were often smallish RIAs with 1 to 5 advisors. And so maybe a 3 advisor firm would tell us, we don't want to put ratings on each individual advisor. We want everyone to know that when you work with our firm, you get the benefit of all of our brains and all of our resources. And that's great and a very valid way to position yourself. But what we can do is capture reviews at the individual advisor level. So if one advisor clearly owns the relationship, that's who asks for the feedback. That's who the client will write the feedback with in regard to. And then when it comes time to publish this data on your website, we can combine the review feeds of all of your advisors, either everybody. So if it's a 3 advisor firm, you just say our firm. You have one overall average rating that averages the ratings of all 3 advisors and then one commingled review feed. If we look at a bigger firm still, we can still collect at the most granular level and publish reviews by location or by specialty or for the whole firm. And so this is what hospitals are doing today. They capture at the individual doctor level. They'll show an average rating for cardiology. They'll show an average rating for Atlanta, Georgia. And then they'll show an overall rating for the whole hospital that might have 200,000 reviews.
Excellent. I'm wondering also, with your previous experience with the hospitals, was there like a tipping point on like number of reviews? Did that matter? Or was it just you had a couple, you were enough to start, that was enough to start the traction?
Great question. So you have to remember, hospitals have a much higher number of transactions or interactions with patients, right? Mm-hmm. The physician might see 40 patients in a day. So we were dealing with much bigger numbers. And the process in that case was that every patient that was seen by a doctor would probably receive a survey. And even if they had a fairly low response rate, they still had a lot of data. So what the common practice in hospitals was is, and again, this was a safety mechanism, they would not start publishing reviews for a physician until they had either 20 or 30 reviews. And that would, again, make sure that if there were one bad review in there or one less flattering review, it would not be published out of context. You would make sure you had somewhat of a valid sample. Now, I think you can bring that number way down in my experience with advisors, but I think it's very reasonable to say until you have 5 or 10 reviews, you're not going to start publishing those on the website. And that's an easy threshold to hit for everyone that we've worked with so far.
Excellent. Yeah, it was something that was prevented for a long time and something that's actually a pretty easy fix on a baseline level. But to do it right, to do it compliantly, as you said, to be able to extract things that the SEC would not be pleased with, there's definitely a bit of nuance there. And you've definitely done a good job of enabling that. So on more straightforward, as I mentioned to you previously, on more straightforward products, these podcasts tend to come in around 20 minutes-ish, and we're going to be somewhere in that neighborhood. So before we wrap up, I got my 3 blue sky questions to make you think and end on a positive note. My first question for you is, if you had one wish for something you could change in your company or the industry as a whole, what would it be?
Let's see. In the financial advisor industry, I think the wish is that we would just accelerate the first part of this adoption curve. I genuinely believe, my co-founders and I genuinely believe that this is an inevitability, right? That if you look at every other industry, ratings and reviews are there because essentially consumers demand them. And now there is no obstacle preventing that from happening. And so it is in every party's best interest to get the ball rolling a little faster on this. I do think we will see an acceleration, which is what we saw in healthcare, that as soon as you see your neighboring institution is publishing this data, it starts to look strange if you aren't also doing it. It's consumers can't help but wonder, why isn't this firm publishing ratings? They must not, their clients must not have nice things to say about them. I would say the biggest wish would be just a little bit of an acceleration. I'm a little impatient. I expected that folks would be getting on board just because every other industry has demonstrated the value of this.
Excellent. Second question. What's been the biggest challenge in your company to where it is today? Now, this is your second time doing it, so probably not as challenging, but let me know. What was it?
That's also a great question, because maybe came in a little too confident because it is our second time doing it, or maybe have a little bit of amnesia about how hesitant early adopters can be. So I have a lot of experience with digital marketing, a lot of experience with product management, and I'm hungry to establish and execute on a process. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs try and race past the product market fit. Now, I have a ton of confidence in our product and in our feature set, but if I'm really honest with myself, I don't think I have nailed the messaging, and I don't think I've nailed the value proposition in a way to compel people to take action on this and give them a sense of urgency to get started on this. Now, I do think, as you said earlier, we will reach a tipping point where that burden won't rely entirely on us and on our company. But I think my biggest challenge has been really the common challenge of any entrepreneur that is early to a market, and that is just getting the messaging, getting the value proposition exactly right so that the target market can understand why they need this and how exactly what the pain point is that it will alleviate.
Excellent. And lastly, what excites you about what it is you're doing? It keeps you getting up in the morning to keep on fighting the good fight.
In the simplest terms, I believe that what we are offering is needed and will deliver real value, will help advisors grow their practice, which I know most advisors, not all, most advisors are really eager to do. And I think they will do it in a way that helps consumers and advisors find each other in the way that they want to make those matches in the best way possible. So I feel like it's a real opportunity to deliver value to advisors and improve the sort of efficiency of this marketplace of consumers trying to find advisors. And so I'm eager to bring that reality to life.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed the conversation, Jason.
So that was my interview with Whit Lanier of Amplify Reviews. I hope you enjoyed that. And if you are a financial advisor looking to basically, quote unquote, amplify reviews, what an apt name. Basically, you should take the time to check out the website. And with that, as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please review on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, or your podcast. Until next time, take care.
This podcast was brought to you by Woodgate Financial, an award-winning financial planning firm catering to high net worth individuals and their families. To learn more, go to woodgate.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or find more episodes at jasonpereira.ca.